Summertime in small town America. Blue skies, bottled beer, and baseball. The Valmire Lakers are hosting a doubleheader against their arch rivals from nearby Waterloo. 10 years ago, this ballpark stood on the edge of the worst flood in American history. Right field was drenched, but incredibly, the pitcher's mound stayed dry. In August of 1993, everything west of this spot, where a town of 900 once stood, was underwater. That summer, the rains were relentless. As floodwaters sacked a string of upstream communities, Valmire launched a round-the-clock sandbagging campaign.
Things were just going so fast, you really didn't have time to stop and think about what was going on. It was just a matter of, you know, let's stack the bags as high as we can and let's stop this thing.
Monroe County Clerk Dennis Knobloch was the mayor of Valmire then. He had hoped residents could stay in their homes as long as possible and had fought with the local utility company to keep the power on weeks before the flood arrived. But in time, it became clear Valmire would have to evacuate. On August 1st, the waters topped the Columbia levee just upstream. Late that night, the utility rep walked over to Knobloch.
And he said, "Mayor, is it okay if I shut the power off?" And I said, "Yeah." And I stood there and watched as the lights went out on town. Not realizing that it was going to be the last time the lights would shine.
Tons of water surged through Valmire's streets, 16 feet high in some places. Nearly every building was destroyed, but no lives were lost. When the torrent subsided, Valmire was left guessing about its future. If residents wanted to repair their homes, floodplain regulations required them to raise their houses 10 feet off the ground. For most, it was a less than appealing prospect. But when a local farmer offered to sell the town 500 acres on a bluff above the floodplain, residents began to consider a complicated but exciting idea, transporting an entire town to higher ground. But the trauma of what had happened was still fresh, and no one was sure they had the willpower to take on such a task. In an interview with National Public Radio 1 month after the flood, businessman Rick Raver wondered if the town would ever stay intact.
Right now, I don't think you could sit down and have a rational conversation with three people at the same time and then try to get all those people to agree on relocating. It won't happen.
But it was Raver's company, MAR Graphics, that led the way home. Despite losing nearly $500,000 in 6 weeks of work, MAR was the first business to reopen in the new town, and people took notice.
I think what it told the people was that hey, we're committed to the rebuilding effort, and I think that in some respects, some people thought, well, you know, heck, if they're committed, you know, I am too. So, and I think after that, it just it's a domino effect. A couple of them start falling in line, the rest do the same.
More than two dozen state and federal agencies spent $44 million to clean up the ravaged Valmire and plan the revived one. Today, stately homes line its streets, and more are going up. Since 1993, Valmire's total property tax value has increased fivefold. Its population is steadily moving toward its pre-flood numbers. Most of its original residents moved uphill, but a few stayed below to replant their roots. Linda and Glenn Coates still live in their 100-year-old home on the floodplain. They had 6 feet of water in their living room, and when it receded, a foul blanket of muck carpeted the ground floor. Outside, great blue herons soar over sprawling wheat fields. In the distance, Salt Lick Point, the bluff on which the new town rests, rises like a Midwestern Rock of Gibraltar. Linda Coates says the solitude of floodplain life was an intangible that a home buyout check could not replace.
It's a unique place. I really miss the people. Of course, most of them are right up the bluff. I can look up there and see the lights at night. But this is the place that I've always called home. I've always lived in a house that had fields nearby. I can still look out the window and look at Salt Lick Point. That's very comforting to me to see those things.
Salt Lick Point is part of a hilly ridge that once stood at the heart of Valmire's economy. For years, limestone was mined in caves tunneled out from the rock. The quarry was a big part of Valmire's past. Now, the town is banking on those abandoned caves for its future prosperity.
Most of the time I take people in these caves, and once they get in a few feet, they go, I think that's enough. I think I'd rather turn around now.
Jeff Berry navigates his four-wheel drive through a dark subterranean maze. He's a former town councilman turned contractor who's helping to design what will become the Rock City Business Complex. In here, the temperature stays in the low 50s year-round, and with 6 million square feet of empty space, it's the perfect place for a commercial cold storage facility. If all available space is rented out, Valmeyer could reap $3 to $6 million in annual revenue. Berry says that will take some of the load off of homeowners who shoulder the bulk of the tax burden.
We had a bunch of caves that we had no idea what to do with. Now we're getting funding for infrastructure, which is water, sewer, roads, and roof stabilization and cleanup, where we can basically make something that was just sitting here doing nothing into a nice moneymaker for the village of Valmeyer with not much investment.
10 years after the flood that residents avoid calling great, Valmeyer is still trying to reconnect its economic and social patterns. Though the town has no formal plans to commemorate the event, it is creating an aesthetic symbol of its past. Outside Valmeyer's only school stands a nearly completed fountain, its base lined with yellow terracotta tiles salvaged from the original school. At the top, slow-moving water will soon flow tranquilly over a gentle slope, a calm reminder of Valmeyer's history as a river town. Officials hope to complete the monument by August, 10 years after disaster led Valmeyer in a new direction. For KWMU, I'm Kevin Lavery.